Log Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is Numania.
Range of fans, rip, what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 11th, and the playoffs start tomorrow. Eddie, how are you?
That's right. You said it right there. The playoffs start tomorrow. Now, I know the NHL is putting on some kind of production tonight, three games on the slate, but what we're all waiting for is tomorrow night. As far as I'm concerned, these are exhibition games that are going on. The real deal's tomorrow night, folks. I am so psyched. I am so jammed. I am so jazzed. I may just wet my pants.
Now, let me ask you a question as I try and adjust my microphone here, because they're saying that. Turn your speakers up. Can you hear me okay?
You sound a little muffled in the beginning.
All right, hold on.
But
let me try and fix that while we're talking. Audio settings. Nope, I have the right microphone on. All right.
You say I'm a little low, huh? I just yelled, too. All right, I'll work on my settings here. Let me get down to my settings. I'm about as loud as I'm going to get. Let me move this mic close to my orifice, the one that's on my face.
Unfortunately, I'm still using the external USB mic until I get a headset tomorrow or Friday. So, and I hate this thing, and I hate the way the show sounds with me doing this thing. So I never know where the right exactly.
The Prinsky.
So hopefully you guys can hear me okay. Hopefully I'm not too loud.
Let's get off the show. We cannot be held back by these technical difficulties, these technophiles in our chat room who want us to be loud and clear. I mean, don't they know this is a radio show? It's not about the sound.
Yeah, hearing this show is very overrated anyway.
Yes.
Before we get rolling here, I have a shout out to a friend of the show. And I won't call him a personal friend because he's not, but he is someone who was good to me when I was starting out with writing, and he was good to me when we started doing this show. Sid Rosenberg from WFAN had a little bit of a stumbling block this weekend. I don't know if you heard. Maybe some people
what happened
out there.
To Sid? He was on the show.
Yep. Well, Sid's. Let's just say Sid's still battling some demons, and he got himself into a little bit of a jackpot over the weekend, and then they wound up firing him. South Florida Radio, and Sid had a shitty weekend to say the least. So keep the faith, brother, as they say. I hope he's doing all right, and maybe he'll come back on the show as he tries to revive his career, because this is the place.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, if you're gonna start
always
to revive. start at the bottom. I mean, this is where we are.
This is still the bottom?
This is still, I really, it is still the bottom. I mean,
it is one step below us.
There's an Islander podcast out there. That's one step below. Anyway, Jim, you want to, what's this? We got to bum everybody out right at the top?
We're not bumming everybody out. I'll give you something funny really quick since you mentioned the Islanders.
Yeah.
Brandon over at Blue Shirt Banner brought this to our attention today in the thread. MSG ratings for Islander games this year were 0.21%. Now, I'm not sure how that translates to actual numbers as far as how many people are watching the Islanders, but I can tell you that it's down. Islander ratings on MSG Network were down 32% from the year before. And I figure that MSG could probably film clothes going around in the dryer and it would get higher ratings than 0.21%. I don't know. Is that like 21 people were watching the Islanders on MSG?
The good news just keeps pouring in about our beloved Islanders. I friggin' love it. I didn't watch that debacle that ended the season when they got creamed by Columbus. I don't know why we're talking about the Islanders, but, you know, we might as well pile on. That's what Ranger fans are. Listen, we've got to revel in their pain. Sorry. That Goring was, like, spinning the season as a success.
Right.
And then, right. But Howie Rose.
That's like kind saying, of, that's like saying the Hindenburg was a success because it did make it to Jersey.
But Howie Rose was like, well, Butch, he's still, even though he's got to broadcast that awful team, you know, he's really a Ranger fan at heart. I mean, let's face it. Even though he puts on a good face. Well, actually, he doesn't put on a good face. But anyway, he said, well, the Islanders basically got eliminated 2 games later than they did last season.
Wow.
That's what it came down to. 2 extra games that were mathematically not eliminated. That's, according to Butch Goring, that is a successful season. So, now, there, I think the lottery was taken for the NHL. I think they're getting the 4th pick overall, the Islanders. And I saw that Edmonton got the number 1 again. But I think they're going to try to trade it to get some goaltending and some defense. All right, let's not talk about, this isn't around the NHL. This isn't about what's going on in Pittsburgh, or as Dan Connor likes to call it, Chittsburgh, which is 3-1. Who cares? I don't care. I don't care about the Paul Gostad show over in Nashville right now, where he got his first goal as a Predator, and it's 1-0 over there. I care about what's happening with the goddamn Rangers, Jimmy. I'm so psyched. You don't understand. I'm gyrating in my chair.
You're gyrating in your chair?
I'm spinning. I wish I had the cam on me. So let's get down to business. Let's get down to beeswax. Let's talk what we got coming up on the show today.
All right. At 9:30, we're going to be joined by Mark Parisi. He is from Silver7Sens.com. It's the SB Nation home for the Ottawa Senators.
Ottawa.
And he's going to give us the scoop on Spezza. What did Frankie call him the other night? Spezza? Spezza and Dogovins and everything else. Everything else going on with the Senators. Mark's going to join us. Seems like a cool guy. I think he'll be. I think he'll have some fun. We might have some Senator fans here in the chat room tonight. We did extend an invitation to them to join us and to call in 646-478-4692. I see B4MV01 is here, the great Scott, who I got to meet a couple weeks ago when he was here in Arizona and didn't want to leave. He said, the weather is perfect. And I said, that's because it's April. Come back in July. So we're glad you guys are here. We're going to get to that. Eddie's got the Chris Kreider interview that we did with him back in 2010 uploaded and ready to go. We'll get to that in a little while. And
I just wanted to say that is exciting because I listened back to it for the first time a couple days ago. And it is when we were we were called Blue Shirt Banter Radio back then. And I really think that Chris Kreider, and I did call him Kreider during these. Please do not get on me. Remember, this guy was a virtual unknown. I did not know how to pronounce his name. I had only seen it in print. So when you hear Chris Kreider, they'll go, "Hey, Eddie, you're really a dope."
When I make mistakes,
not...
it ain't funny.
That's
when
right.
I make mistakes, it ain't funny.
That's right. Whoever said that was...
You better not pull that clip and put it off.
Anyway, I just want to say, you will never hear an interview with Chris Kreider as entertaining as the one as me and Jim did. Although I think Jim in this was very, how could I say, he was playing the straight man. And you know what I mean? He's very, Chris, so how was the transition? And I'm like, you see any chicks, you know, lately? You know, I'm like that. But we had him laughing, and it's informative, which is really good. We get down, and you get a real good grasp of what kind of kid this is. And you know, he signed, right?
Yep, ready to go. Number 20.
Number 20, originally reporting he's going to be number 91, but now he's taking Jan Erickson's old number.
Right.
Number 20.
Right. I'm anxious to hear the Kreider interview again. And, you know, it just makes me wish even more that Ethan Werrick had found his way, you know, through the Ranger organization. Because I always thought the interview we did with him was more fun than the one we did with Kreider.
Yeah, it was. But Ethan Werrick, I mean, I don't have any stats on him, but he may be co-hosting this show soon. Billy and Billy Kreider doesn't work out.
He's going to be on the Instigators.
Oh. Hey, you see Bresner today offering up those tickets, $1,000 each for game one?
Yeah.
Oh,
unless they came with naked pictures of his ex-wife, it's a little expensive.
I'm like,
it's a little strong.
Facebook that. Get the hell out of here, $1,000 a piece for a game one. Jeez.
He's in it to win it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Ethan Werrick, 10 goals, 9 assists in 65 games this year.
Oh.
The Portland Pirates of the AHL.
Arr, you stink.
Arg. So.
Arr, you're horrible, Ethan. I love you, Ethan. But you got to pick it up. Actually, you don't have to pick it up because you're a Phoenix property and I could care less. But just quickly, I've said it before, Rangers seem to part ways with prospects, and it always seems to turn out to be the right move so far. It's still early to tell, but Chris Kreider coming up. We got the Senators guys coming in there. What's his name?
Mark.
Now, did you tell me something about Mark that he's from Georgia?
He has a Georgia area code. I have not confirmed yet that that's where he lives.
This is in Georgia, like in Russia, Georgia. This is Georgia in the United States.
Right, it's Georgia. I believe it's, you know, is in Georgia on my mind.
Standing from Tony Guacamole, who was running our score updating today, 1-1 on a Henrik Zetterberg goal in that other exhibition game on CNBC. Who's, what is that? Neil Cavuto announcing that game? Get that. Anyway, I'm excited to have Kreider here. I hope he plays right away. I hope Mandog can start eating his words.
Yeah, and the rest of the negative Nellies out there, you know who you are.
Yes, and I think Mario Morgado on the fantastic Facebook page that we have made a reference. He consulted an older veteran than himself, which is not too many, that Ron Joubert made his debut in the playoffs as well.
He did.
So this may bode well for Kreider. I like it. I think it's a good move. My question to you and to the fans at large is, who's going to sit?
Dubinsky!
No, I
just said that because Bella's here.
Oh.
John Mitchell is going to sit.
But he's the center ice. Who's going to play center?
He doesn't always play center ice.
I thought he always played. He was the fourth line center.
Can't Rupp be the fourth line center?
Rupp can't take a face off.
Sure,
you know what? Mike Rupp shouldn't even be playing. I got news for you, folks.
Can John Mitchell take a face off?
Yeah, John Mitchell's a hell of a fat. He was like 43% on face
offs. Oh, he's fantastic.
He's fantastic, Johnny Malkin.
Fantastic.
All right. So you say John Mitchell, whatever. I'd say let's give this guy a shot. Obviously, the Rangers are not afraid to throw him in the mix. They burned one year of his entry level contract, or ELC, as people in the know know. It stands for that. $1.3 million the first year, and he's practicing. He's got a number. I mean, this means he's going to play somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and can I go on a short rant about Chris Kreider?
You to go on a rant for the ages.
Well, it's not going to be a rant for the ages because I'm not that worked up about it. But I keep hearing from the media, from Ranger fans, I keep hearing this, well, we don't know if he's ready. He's got to, he's got to learn the defensive system. He's got to look. Is he willing to block shots? Do I really care if this guy can block shots? I don't give a shit if he knows how to block shots. The Rangers have 74 forwards on their roster that know how to block shots. I think somebody could cover for Kreider if the puck's coming. Just let him get on the ice and let him do what he does. We can teach him how to be a fourth line left wing in September. We'll teach him how to be Ruslan Fedotenko then. For now, just let him play. Who cares if he knows how to block shots? Let Hank block the shots.
Yeah.
Can he block shots? Oh, he's got to learn to play the style. Fuck the style. You didn't draft this guy to be Brandon Prust. No offense to Brandon Prust. You drafted him because of his speed, drafted him because of his scoring ability. We don't need another Brian Boyle. Oh, boy, do we not need another Brian Boyle. We don't
Brian Boyle came on at the end of the year.
Oh, he's great. We don't need another Chris Newbery.
I'm in disagreement.
About what?
About Brian Boyle.
I love Brian Boyle. He's fantastic.
Listen, let me ask you something, Dior.
Oh, that hurt.
Come on, I know it's enough. Listen, my friend, my love. Just to Boyle, a little sidebar on Boyle. This year, what do you have, 22 goals? Well, the year before, 22 goals, 21 goals. In your realistic dreams, well, not realistic dreams, but in your realistic view, how much did you think he was going to get the next year? We all knew he wasn't going to get 22 goals.
47.
No, you didn't. I thought around 15. What do you want, him, 11? Par for the course. He plays hell of a defense. He does.
He plays a terrific defensive game. Look, I got nothing. I've accepted him for what he is. I just like getting everybody stirred up when I make because almost nobody is on that ship with me. So I just like stirring people up. I mean, everybody's quick to defend him, but the guy's just he's got the. You've said it 100 times. He's got the hands of Bree Olsen. And I just hate seeing him cross the blue line into the offensive zone because I just know that it's going to be a turnover.
The thing with him is he's got no hands and he gets knocked off the puck too quickly. Boyle. Now, Kreider, I've met in person. I've had my picture taken with him. I've been posting it on Facebook. wow, like I got a photo op with Chris Pratt. But anyway, and you met him in person at the draft. You were there. You were privy to see. He's a lanky dude. He is not big. He's like Artie lanky, if I could compare him to anybody else. He's got that autumn build. But I feel that he can fill the role that Zuccarello fit. It wasn't like Zuccarello was going down to block shots. You know, help on the power play if he can, and get a little fourth line energy going, and maybe move up. If he plays well, he'll move up. I mean, that's it. What do you think? He's got to, like you said, he's going to have to go down block shots and back check. They obviously are impressed with him already, that they are ready to see him in live action. They think he's ready to some degree. He can add something, or they wouldn't have signed him in such a rush. So I'm going with, yeah, that's true. People in the chat room are reminding me that Zuccarello got hurt blocking his shot. So that'll teach him. If you're an offensive guy, don't block shots. Don't cry, I was watching that tape. But, you know, like, when do we get all hell bent on this system? You can't have these defensive automatons running around. You need some kind of offense. And the Rangers, although I don't think they'll need it in this round, going forward, which is a beautiful new transition phrase, going forward, I think they will need it. Because I think this Ottawa series, now I want to talk to Mark, and maybe Mark will differ with me, but I really have a lot of confidence, actually way too much confidence in the Rangers for my own good going into this series. Jim?
Sorry, I'm here.
I was just
listening to you.
Okay, well, I'll continue to talk because Jim is red in the face. I thought you were having some kind of issue there. Mr. French is reporting. Yeah, I'm a New York Ranger fan in New Jersey, says. Does Gabby block shots? Come on. Not every guy has got to do it, and I think, listen, you know, well, he'll get a dose. He'll get a dose, and we'll see what's going on. Because it's not a, again, he's going to be playing John Mitchell minutes. What are we all freaking out about? So, anyway, that concludes my little minor rant on Kreider. I think most Ranger fans are glad that he's with the team. We've been hearing about him. And I can't wait to see him out there. He is speedy.
I think most are excited to see him. Most. Let me ask you a question. I got one question for you. We got
go ahead.
We've had what? Four Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 4 days off before the game tomorrow night. How are you handling that? Is that too much for you? Are you okay with it? What do you
I'm
think?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. First of all, you have what? Gaborik was dealing with the flu. I don't know. It's like Frankie said. Don't they take a flu shot, these guys, every year? Hank, Frankie had some lucid moments, and certainly that was one of his more lucid moments. Callahan had some issues. I think it's okay. The Rangers need to come out and dominate early, get the first goal, get that garden rocking, put Ottawa in a tenuous position early. I mean, I know that's kind of cliche to say, to jump on them, but they really need to, the Rangers. Rangers, when they score first, have an incredible record throughout the regular season, and it'll be a good chance to put them on lockdown. Now, do I think the 4 day? No, I don't think 4 days matters. I think it actually better because now it's got them refocused for the playoffs. I felt like the last 20 games, the team mentally didn't know, was kind of waiting for the playoffs. I mean, you know, that's the way that stupid jerk, Keith Jones had mentioned about Henrik, and when he prognosticated the series, was saying that he may have taken, and I don't believe it, though. It said that he may have mentally taken a break the last couple games, especially that last game against the Caps. I don't know, but I'm hoping to see Henrik be the impenetrable wall that he is in the playoffs. So, So, you know, while we have this time, we're all talking about Ottawa. I'm making my predictions. Jim, is our guest here?
I believe he is. I see his number here on the switchboard, so we'll bring him in just a second. Just to answer my own question, I've kind of enjoyed these four nights off, especially last night when there was no show and no hockey. I just came home and did nothing. I came home after work and just watched TV. Did nothing. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, I don't mind the 4 days off, and it's good for the definitely some wounded warriors on this team that needed a break. Boyle being one of them, Girardi, McDonough, Prust, Rupp. Yeah. So, maybe, and, you know, that might be a good point about Henrik, maybe a little mental checkout, but we'll see. But we'll know about 24 hours from now. But without further ado, I believe our guest has arrived, so we'll welcome in from Silver7Sens.com, Mark Parisi. Mark, did I say your last name right? Is it Parisi?
It is Parisi. You got it perfect.
All right. Jim and Eddie with you here. Welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Our first question is, why does an Ottawa Senators fan have a Georgia area code?
Because I live in Georgia. That's pretty simple.
Fair enough answer. How does a guy in Georgia, as an obvious follow-up, how does a guy in Georgia become an Ottawa Senators fan?
Well, I'm not from Georgia. My hometown's Rochester, New York, which you guys should know well. Ryan Callahan's from there.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of Ryan Callahan? He's kind of good, right?
He's all right. He's coming along.
He's got potential.
You're from Rochester, smack dab in between Sabres and the Rangers, and you still chose Ottawa.
Well, you know what? In 1992, I was 13 years old. I was just getting into hockey, and everyone was jumping on the Tampa Bay bandwagon. And, you know, I like the underdog, so I took the Senators. Couldn't get behind the Sabres because I loathe Dominic Hasek, and I wish he would die.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that the venom for Dominic Hasek, what did he do?
There are rumors that Ted Nolan felt the same way about Mr. Hasek, by the way.
Yes, I'm very familiar with those rumors, and I believe them.
Eddie, have you ever heard those? You ever heard that rumor?
Oh yes, the infidelity rumors.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Oh.
Mr. Nolan.
Okay.
So anyway,
all right.
So you're an Ottawa Senators fan from Georgia, by way of Rochester, New York. It's the way most people become Ottawa Senators fans.
Of course. So, I actually took an 8-year pit stop in Arizona before I got out to Georgia. So.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
that's where I am.
Arizona, the Coyotes were going to move, so then I moved to Atlanta and I chased away the Falcons. Listen to me, the Thrashers instead.
Gotcha.
Who was the big guy? I just wanted when you were young, when Ottawa's first year. Who was their big guy? They had some guy that. I can't remember his name for the life of me. He was a center ice. Their
the
first year? I think their first couple of years he was like their leading goal scorer.
Well, I mean, the big guy in the early years was Daig, and then there was Yashin, who actually played well. But before that, I mean, we had no one.
There was one guy before that. I can't. It was before Daig. Oh, God, it's going to kill me. It's going to kill me, Whitey.
Got to look it up because I don't remember anyone being any good before we landed Daig. And then we all know how that turned out.
What was their first year in the league?
The first year in the league was 92-93 season.
Okay, I got to look it up because it's on the table. Jim, interview this wonderful young man while I...
All right, so while you go to the stats desk. Now, Mark, my first question is as a Senators fan, as they were coming down the last week of the season here and things broke the way they did, and you wound up with Ottawa wound up with the 8th seed, getting the Rangers in the first round. How did you feel about that? And you can be honest. Was there somewhat of a sense of relief? Or?
Yeah, I think any Sens fan would be lying if we said there wasn't. You know, Boston has destroyed us pretty much since they've gotten Tim Thomas. I think he's lost in Ottawa like once in his career. So we really don't want to play Boston. And I think the season series against the Rangers has given Sens fans a little misplaced confidence. But I think we'd rather play them than Boston.
I mean, looking at it from the Sens perspective, I don't know if it's necessarily misguided confidence. I think they know they match up decently with the Rangers, played well against them during the regular season, and if you looked at what the other options were, Pittsburgh or Boston, like you said, they don't play well against Boston. If I was a Senators fan, I would have said, you know what, I'll take my chances against the Rangers.
Well, and that's what it came down to. I mean, really, going into that last week, we were still hoping we could overtake Jersey and draw Florida, because, I mean, Florida.
No, everybody wanted to draw Florida.
Yeah.
The line forms to the left.
Yeah, right. Given the choice between the Rangers and the Bruins, I think any Sens fan is going to say we would have preferred the Rangers. So, you know, that's the long and short of it.
All right. It makes sense. I appreciate your honesty. You don't come on here blowing a lot of smoke. We like that. So who's, as the Senators head into the playoffs, who's been their hottest players?
Well, coming down the stretch, it's going to be the names, you know, Jason Spezza, Erik Karlsson, although Karlsson had a really shitty week those last three games. And Kyle Turris, actually, the kid from Phoenix that we traded for. Spezza missed a game where he had the birth of his second kid. I mean, you've seen one, you've seen them all. But Turris came in, moved up on that top line, and promptly put up a four-point game. He had two goals, two assists, and just dominated on the ice. So I would say those are probably the three guys you're looking for.
Okay. Tell me, as you look at this series, what are the three things that you think have to happen for the Senators to win?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest here. I don't think that the Senators have any control over those three things to win. I believe they have a chance, but I think that's totally dependent on, the type of game the Rangers play. The Senators play a really puck possession, free-flowing kind of game, and that's why Spezza and Erik Karlsson have flourished this year. But they don't match up well in a tight checking game. And, you know, the Rangers' defense is totally set up to play exactly that kind of game. So
right.
The three things that Ottawa has to do, I would say, either they need to make it a physical game, they need to make it an up and down the ice kind of game, or they need to, get lucky and have Lundqvist go down with some kind of freak injury.
Oh.
I love that. That's one of the keys.
One of the keys.
Lundqvist cuts himself shaving and bleeds out.
Yeah, well, I don't want him to die. I just want him to miss the series. I feel like us Sens fans are kind of forgetting that, the Rangers are the number one seed for a reason here. They're a really good team, and I think there's a sense of overconfidence based on that season series. You know, I mean, one of those wins came against Marty Baron, and I don't know how much that's worth. One of them, they managed to get lucky and come back from down 4-1, but they were down 4-1. So, you know, I don't think that 3-1 series is as proof of the pudding as everyone feels. It's really going to come down to, are the Rangers going to let the Sens play the kind of game the Sens want? If they do, the Sens have a chance. If the Rangers play the Rangers game, I don't think that Ottawa's got much of a shot.
Okay.
We got jackhammer work in the back.
Is that
what's going on there?
Are you at the car wash?
The show, kid.
Are you vacuuming out your car while you do the show, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm vacuuming out the car while we're doing the show. And the person who was vacuuming can't hear me.
That was
beautiful.
knees up on the factory during a live show?
Jeez, I'm talking to people from Georgia here.
I found the only Senators fan in Georgia by way of Rochester and Arizona.
Yeah, I was the only Senators fan in Arizona, too. It was tough times.
Eddie's at the Hess station. This just
yeah,
in from the chat room.
All right, Jim, did he give us his three keys? Henrik getting hurt?
Henrik with a freak injury.
Try and Senators play a physical game. Try and play a free open style game.
Right. And I think that was one of the things that we were concerned about is that I think if the Rangers don't play their style of game, which has gotten them there, that'll be a problem. But I can't really foresee that starting off like that unless they get down early and even then, do you think Kasper's Dolgovins will play a big part in this series?
I love Kasper's Dolgovins. You know what? He's actually one of our top penalty killers.
Mark,
you love Rooster.
You like Kasper's Dolgovins?
We love
you
Rooster,
know why
man.
You hear that?
Rooster?
Because
Rooster.
Why do they call him Rooster?
I have no idea why they call him. We call him Rooster because we found out that was his nickname when he was on Binghamton last year.
Is it because he's got a big never mind. I don't know. We're going to go there. All right, go ahead, Ed.
He's Russian, so I doubt it.
Oh!
Wow.
Wow.
Good stinger there, Mark. Hey. Well, Mark, plus you are a funny man, a fan of Kasper Dolgovins. There's somebody else who's a big fan of Kasper Dolgovins. Here he is.
I've heard.
Drive was blocked by Kasper's Dolgovins, number 23. Pass tip. Gavrik is there. Clearing attempt was blocked. Dolgovins gets hold and clears. Dolgovins, his name is also pronounced Dolgovins, but he prefers and has told the Ottawa broadcasters, passed along to us, prefers to be called Dolgovins. In North America, so we will call him Kasper's Dolgovins. The goal is Philip Kuba from Carlson and Dolgovins at 13-12 for Kasper's Dolgovins, his first NHL point.
Now he was brought up. You mentioned this is his third game because there were some injuries, and he played well enough in the games that when the injured players got back, that he stays in the lineup.
Lundqvist looks around the board, blocked by Dolgovins. Christensen tried to move it up the boards.
Good pace to the game.
Getting through and a bad save made by Lundqvist.
So our guys down the truck took the first point away from Dolgovins.
That's
in his NHL career.
Dolgovins out.
Not us. Those guys downstairs.
And Dolgovins. Dolgovins, by the way, I mentioned this is his third game in the NHL this season. Started the season with the minors. Played one game with the Senators last season. He's from Riga, Latvia. Dolgovins with a big drive and a save made by Lundqvist. He holds on. And Dolgovins, Fincher, he wrapped his arms around Dolgovins. And the drive was blocked.
Sam Rosen loves Kasper Dolgovins. Now,
I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about Dolgovins that much.
Well, this is what we have to put up as Ranger fans. We watch every game, and we have to hear about how great the other players are.
Oh, the chat room wants to hear it again.
Who?
Everybody in the chat room, they want to hear it again.
Oh, please. Nobody wants to hear
I'm
that.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're complaining. Can you believe
it?
You're complaining.
Yeah. Free show, and you're complaining.
How many Ottawa Sens writers, Senators writers, did Mike Francesa have on his show today? Exactly.
Zero.
Exactly.
We don't like when they revolt. We get all pissy. But anyway, we're used to that as Ranger fans. We get in-depth analysis of the opposing players, but our players, we don't. Nobody, if you're not, from the if you didn't play for USA in some capacity in the NCAA or anything, you never hear anything. But anyway, let's get back to the point. This is the way I see it, Mark, and feel free to rebut. I feel Ottawa is a young team in some respects. I feel that I feel like the Rangers are a little bit farther along in the process in the development of their youth. I think Erik Karlsson, although he can be a great benefit on the power play, I saw that their power play was 11th overall. The Rangers actually finished 23rd, which they were like 29th for like the whole year. I guess they came out at the end. But I feel like Erik Karlsson also has that kind of opportunity to blow up as well in his own defensive zone. So I don't know. I kind of look at it that way. And the goaltending matchup, of course, I am biased, but I do like Henrik over Anderson. How can you? What can you tell me about how Craig Anderson's played this year?
Craig Anderson has been pretty much a hero for the Senators. He's everything that Dominic Hasek should have been, I guess is the best way to say it. How do I even begin to describe the impact that Anderson has had? He's pretty much the savior of the team. We would not have made the playoffs if we didn't have Craig Anderson. Let's put it that way.
I looked at his stats, and I didn't see him play. So stats can be misleading. His save wasn't all that impressive, but he's been big time for them. And that's what you're saying?
Oh yeah. Well, look, his save percentage was annihilated in the first 10 games of the season when the team was getting blown out 7-2 on a nightly basis. Well, they figured out, are we even a hockey team this year? And he got it up to, I think, 91.7 by the end of the year, 917. So
yeah.
It's really a testament to how well he rebounded, because the defense in front of him started off absolutely terribly. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's in the same league as Henrik, because he's not. No one's talking about him for the Vezina, and there's no reason to. But he repeatedly makes the big saves for the team when they need him.
Well, now, Mark, I just want you to let you know, we have a guy, Jeff, in our chat room who shows up every week, and he's a Leafs fan. And he says Craig Anderson sucks. And I got to say that as a Leafs fan, he ought to know a shitty goaltender when he sees one.
Yeah, well,
take Craig Anderson over three Leafs goaltenders put together, Jeff.
Leafs fans have nothing else to do this time of year except talk about other teams. So I don't know what kind of opinion we should take their opinion for.
Oh, yeah, and I also want to tell you something to Leafs fans, while we're on the subject of Leafs fans. I feel bad for Leafs because they are similar to the Rangers were before 1994. They've gone a long time without winning. That if you're going to give a nickname to a goaltender, like the Monster, don't give nicknames to bad goaltenders, especially Monster, because that guy has turned out to be a goaltending boogeyman. I mean, he's horrible. Jason Reimer, he's another guy. Reimer, Reason. The guy is horrible. Don't be picking on goalies, Jeff. Who's another guy we should watch out that kind of fly? Besides Dogovins and Spezza.
I got a clip about Dogovins. Hold on, you want to hear it?
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
who else should we be watching out for?
I mean, we got to talk about Erik Karlsson, right? Because he's the guy that's driving all of the team's offense. It's Karlsson. He is ridiculously good. He should win the Norris Trophy this year. And I'd be happy to talk more about that.
I don't want to talk about that.
You don't want to talk about that?
Hey, listen, I know the guy's great. I loaded up on his rookie cards early on, and they're paying quite the dividend these days. Yeah, 19 goals, 59 assists. It's sick, and he did take a little offensive dip there for a while. He got off to, not that his dip was, 7-8 points for defenseman is outrageous in this day and age.
Yeah. His dip dropped to one assist a game from three, right?
Right, exactly. What about Milan McCollum? Is he the real deal? He's kind of a guy that always gets off to a great start. I know he put up 35 goals this year. It's a lot. How did he finish the season, the second half?
Second half was pretty good, pretty good. Not quite as hot as his first half. He was on a complete roll, and then, if my memory serves me, he was actually concussed by Erik Karlsson. It was Karlsson's only hit of the year. It was on his own player. He tripped right over Karlsson and hit his head on the ice. He was on, I think, a couple-game goal streak at that point. So he missed time with a concussion, and he's been streaky since he got back. I really think he could have hit 40 if he didn't miss that time with injury. This is the first year in forever that he's had healthy knees in both knees, and Spezza is good at finding a guy in a shooting position. So McCullough's role on that team is a finisher. You know, he's there to shoot, and that's what he does best.
Now Mark, I just want to say, I got to defend you again here in the chat room because Jeff, our Leafs fan, said, well, the Sens have never beaten the Leafs in the playoffs. Well, that's because the Leafs haven't made the playoffs since the Senators have been around, right?
The Leafs trolls have the same thing to say over and over, right? Sens have never beaten the Leafs in the playoffs. Well, we haven't had a chance to play them in, 7 years? So, we want to talk about decades past. Let's go back to 1967, right?
There's very little recorded history from then.
There's no denying the Leafs have owned the Senators in the playoffs, but that was 10 years ago.
Right.
Ottawa's moved on because we're still in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And really, anything relevant to hockey only starts with the beginning of this show. So, from 2008 on, that's the only thing that's relevant in hockey as far as I'm concerned.
I've updated the sports desk. 3-2 now in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a stupid goal. But I got to say, what, 40 minutes into the playoff season? I'm already sick of Pittsburgh.
I wanted to ask you that as a as an independent observer with no horse in the race per se, how did you perceive this whole Tortorella Penguins thing that went on last week?
Well, give us your I'm of two minds. Number one, I cannot believe that Orpik was not suspended. That's a miscarriage of justice. And I think Tortorella should have been suspended for what he said because. He's a hypocrite. He would do the same thing. But on the other hand, he's totally right because Pittsburgh Pittsburgh's a whiny team. We don't need to pretend they're not. But Tortorella is the biggest whiner of the coaches in the league. And I love the guy. I grew up watching him in Rochester. I think he's freaking hilarious. But he's also kind of a crybaby. So I guess bottom line, there's plenty of blame to go around there.
Okay. And that is... That is the prevailing perception of from fans that people that aren't fans of the Rangers and aren't fans of the Penguins. That's pretty much the standard answer about Tortorella, about the Penguins, the whole thing. So,
I don't know how you can look at that hit and not give a suspension.
I would agree with you.
I don't agree with the Tortorella being a whiner. Don't you think what he said is echoing everybody's thoughts in the hockey world?
Well, let me ask you this, Eddie. If LaViolette said the exact same thing, what would we say? Would we just agree with him and say how great it was that he did it? Or would we say, how about a little cheese with that wine, LaViolette?
No, go ahead.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying you should go ahead.
I mean, when he says that they're a whining organization, they're an arrogant organization, I think that's right on.
I agree.
I mean,
no argument for me.
Mario Lemieux was a major tool. He wants his I mean, up to this year, he had Matt Cook, probably one of the dirtiest guys in the league, running around, and then he wants it the both ways.
You know what my problem with Matt Cook is?
That he exists?
Not that he exists, but like if he can suddenly play clean hockey and put up whatever 20 goals he had this year, why the hell did he not do that for the rest of his career? Why is he such a cheap shot artist if he didn't have to be? I think that's ridiculous, and I don't believe he's changed. I believe he's just being good. I hate
Matt Cook. He got neutered. Well, you hate Dominic Hasek more.
I despise Dominic Hasek, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we got that. Now, I want to ask you a couple more questions about your beloved Senators. The guy I like, a young guy, rookie, I think, Colin Greeny. I like this kid. What kind of season did he have?
Streaky season, because this is rookie season. Even though he's played 100 games, this is technically his rookie season. So Colin Greening is actually the fastest player on the team. He's faster than Erik Karlsson. Strongest player on the team, according to the team trainers. They say they call him Incredible Hulk, I guess. He's like apparently a freak in the weight.
All over the place, these guys.
Oh, we got a nickname for everyone. It's ridiculous.
What's Dolby's called again? What's his nickname? The
Rooster.
The big cock.
The Rooster.
Oh, the Rooster.
The Rooster.
Sorry, I was close. hey, do you have a nickname for Matt Gilroy?
Yeah.
Our nickname for him is Jesus Fuck, but I've heard he's supposed to be called Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy.
Yeah, I posted that story on your site the other day. Did you get a chance to see the story? He did this,
I think that video was probably the highlight of my night.
That was absolutely hilarious.
Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy.
And every time we used to bring him up on the show, I would just say, "Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy."
Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy. Matt Gilroy, since he's been on the team, has actually missed 3 open nets. He's not well loved by Senators fans.
Wow.
Oh, hey, and what? Philly ties it.
Oh, and it's 3-3 as we get the update from Mark and Joey Guacamole, our stat guy.
So the game is tied. The arena can now get hit by lightning, so there is no winner to be declared. The tsunami can go.
I would love to see that happen.
Bettman will intervene and give Pittsburgh the win. Now
He'll be standing up on top of the arena like Moses, like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments with the staff. Let my people go!
Now that we've kind of lauded the Ottawa Senators and people in the chat room are starting to get sick of you, I want to ask you, who are the guys that really we got to work on? The guys you're worried about on your own team that can be exposed. Because I am very good friends with John Tortorella and the Weiner, and I can help him with this. Who can we expose?
It's the second defensive pairing, without a doubt. That would be Sergei Gonchar and Chris Phillips.
Sergei Gonchar, what is he, 61 now? How old is he now?
Matt, I always say that it's ironic that Gonchar is an Ottawa Senator because he used to be a Roman Senator. Guy's been around. I think I was just getting into high school when Sergei Gonchar was coming into the league. And the Flyers have taken the lead.
Wow. Lemieux is probably just in.
I'm watching the game. There's no way.
All right. Continue. Who's the other guy on that, the second defensive pairing?
Chris Phillips. Recently played 1,000 games for the team. Yeah. He was the first overall pick in 1996.
I was going to say, he is not very so they have an old second pairing there. What's their first pairing? They got, Jared Cowan, who's a hitter. I like that kid a lot. And who else?
Collins. First pairing is Erik Karlsson and Filip Kuba. Yep.
Okay.
And Kuba's job is just basically to sit back and hope that Karlsson doesn't fuck up too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the easiest job in the world. And Karlsson will just play wherever he wants to on the ice. So that pairing's pretty good. But Gonchar and Phillips, between the two of them, I bet you that Brad Richards could outskate them both skating backwards.
All right. Well, that's good that your second pairing sucks. I like that.
Well, the thing is, they don't suck. They actually had a really strong finish to the year, but come playoff time, if you're looking for a weakness, that's where it is. That's the pair you want to work. Because, combined, they're 100 years old, I think. So, in a 7-game series, that's where I'd target.
Now, I think the key, I think we all can agree, is the secondary scoring by the Rangers can stymie that first line. Who's had a good season, though? Who can we look to shut down forward-wise? I'm looking at some of the stats here. You said Kyle Turris is coming on. I know he didn't have a great start. I think he actually scored against the Rangers in the last game they played.
Yeah, he did.
Nick Foligno has been a little bit of a surprise, hasn't he?
Yeah, Foligno's had the quietest 47-point season I think I can remember on the team. And most of those points came on the third and fourth line. Foligno's been up and down the line the entire time, but as that last month finished, they put him on the line with Turris and Alfredson. That's our second line going in. And that line's really,
okay.
really quick.
How old is Daniel Alfredson now? Is he 60, 62? Is he ready for Canadian Social Security yet?
Daniel Alfredson is actually a living god, so he's ageless.
Oh,
you can't count his age in Earth years. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, all right. I see you're him. He did have a pretty good year this year. I thought he was finished after last year. All right.
I thought he was finished too. He had back surgery. He came back from back surgery to have the year he's having.
So, I will
prove
be ready for your concession. I will be ready for your concession speech after game one. We'll be here for you during every off day, Mark. I appreciate you being on this show. You've been honest. You have been forthcoming. And you have been reverent to Jim, which is my most important thing, because Jim needs to be looked up to.
Mark, before we let you go, just... I read that article that you guys had that Devils fan write about reasons to hate the Rangers, and I told Peter, I said I could have wrote a better article as to why to hate the Rangers than this guy did. But anyway, I noticed a lot of your fans all said the same. Oh, I don't hate the Rangers. I've never hated the Rangers. Blah blah. And I was trying to figure out why. I thought everybody hates the Rangers, but the Rangers took Wade Redden off your hands, so you guys are probably forever grateful.
We loved seeing that contract get signed because, it lessened the pain of us losing Chara and then seeing them bury that contract in Hartford is just, it's a thing of beauty. I got to be honest.
Yeah, we
don't have any
dislike
for Redden, but.
She's terrible.
He was the worst defenseman I've ever seen live. I've been following his team since 1975. I'll say it again.
You know what? And the funny thing is, because he was so good for so long, and then it's like he forgot how to play hockey. He was so bad.
Drugs.
And how anyone could think he was worth that much money, it's like, I don't know. Wade Redden's supposed to be the drug user, but I think Sather might have gotten into his stash.
The GM is just batshit crazy sometimes. That's what it comes down to. Well, Mark, thank you. Listen, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you coming on and giving us all the scoop, and good luck in the series, and maybe we'll talk to you on the other side.
Fuck luck.
Thanks, gentlemen.
It's
been a pleasure.
Take care, Mark.
We'll see. Ottawa can win this series, so if that happens, I'm expecting to come back on your show and talk about where the Rangers went wrong.
Fair enough. There'll be no show. No, fair enough, yeah.
All right.
Take care, Mark. Thanks for being a good sport.
Take it easy.
Thanks, gentlemen. You guys have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Take care.
That was Mark in Georgia from Rochester by way of Arizona who roots for the Senators. He was fun. He was all right. A little cocky, a little arrogant. Everybody's great. This one's he reminds me of Buddy from Oprah.
The Mitch Beck of Ottawa. Everybody's great.
You reminded me of Buddy from Holbrook. This guy's good. Or this guy's good. You go get a little crazy.
You get a little ahead of yourself.
That's all right. Hey,
he's a fantastic goalie.
It's all right.
17 ain't cutting it in my goal.
Look, he can say as well as he spoke about the players, even he said he does not expect the Senators to win this series, that a lot of things have to go right for the Senators to win the series, one of them being a freakish injury that keeps Henrik Lundqvist out for the series. So he knows the chances are slim no matter how great his team thinks they are. So, you know, he's better than the Rangers blogger that predicted the Senators would win the series in five today.
Who was that?
Bag. Take a guess.
Scotty Hockey?
That would be the one. Can you believe that?
That guy should be euthanized from the hockey world. Really? Seriously? I mean, how can you pick against your own team?
You don't go against the family.
Where is he? Where is Scotty Hockey?
You know, if you want to try to be objective in the later rounds, fine. First round is like the first day of the baseball season. You know, hope springs eternal.
You know what, dude? You guys say he's serious. I think he's trolling for responses. Nobody. Why wouldn't it? Give me some valid reasons why the Senators are going to beat the Rangers in five games. I can think, you could say it could go seven, maybe five games. There's no evidence. I throw him at a cooling. Shoddy Hockey, they're calling him. He's terrible.
No, Shoddy Hockey is the parody of him on Twitter.
Twitter.
To me, it is one of the greatest things that's ever been on the internet ever. Shoddy Hockey.
I agree with Mandar. We beat them even with Valaket in net. Well, Cam Talbot, that jinx.
We beat them with Dunham in net.
You really like doing the Mike Dunham well.
It's like Roman Newton.
You go to the back of right now. So, we get any phone calls before we go to this Chris Kreider thing, which is pretty funny. And I would love to hear the commentary in the chat room why it's going on. About the interview process, how me and Jim handled the interview.
Yeah, we have a couple of phone calls. 646-478-4692 if you guys want to get in before. So how long is the Kreider interview again?
About 25 minutes.
All right, so do you want to save that? What do we got? Well, we still got an hour to go. We're scheduled for 2 hours. You want to do that in about a half an hour and just kind of let that play the last half hour of the show? How do you want to do that?
Everybody's going to leave.
Well,
we can discuss.
You want to do it now? Leave everybody on hold for another half hour?
No. Put the people on the phone. We'll get them on now, and after the phone calls, we'll go to the thing.
All right.
Then we can do like a wrap up after that and discuss our interview techniques.
Oh, and our prediction. 516-859. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Eric from Five-Hole.
What's going on, Eric? How are you?
Hey, Eric from Five-Hole.
Yeah, I thought we had decided on Facebook that we were going to not talk about Scotty Hockey anymore.
Oh, did we? I'm sorry. Well, I wasn't going to mention his name until Eddie asked for it, and then I...
Yeah, I'm not at the Twitter twat a loop, so I don't know what's going on. So, Eric, what do you think about this prediction of this guy?
I don't know. I think he's just pessimistic for the sake of being pessimistic, you know? He is a Rangers fan. I'll give him that. Like, he is not a Rangers fan. He pays for tickets. He goes to every game that he can go to. I think that he's doing this just because he doesn't want to be let down, because if he's wrong, then he's happy because they're in the second round. But if he's right, then he can say, I told you so.
So he's kind of hedging his bets. But
yeah, exactly.
In the past...
I'll have none of that.
You know, first in the league. If you can't get behind this team now and be positive for a first round, when are you going to get ready? I mean, to me, there's a reason we were first in the league. I think everybody's forgetting that. I mean, I'm not a lot of Ranger fans, but I think the so-called experts especially, too, they don't seem to be – they seem to be wooed or swayed by the sexiness of, look at how much scoring Pittsburgh has. Look at Vancouver. They have two great goalies. They have scoring. But we all know what wins playoff hockey for the most part. It gets you far enough. And I think the Rangers are built that way. That's why I'm confident. I'm not hedging no bets.
I have a stat for you guys.
Give it to me.
The Rangers have not beaten a team that is better than them in the standings since 2011.
Wait a minute. That includes regular season?
Yeah, in the regular season, it has been they have not beaten a team above them in the standings since 2011.
Well, how many teams have been above them in the standings this year?
Do you know why that is?
Because they're always ahead.
Because they have been in first place since December 31st.
For 2 years.
I'm talking about just for 2012. They have not beaten a team above them in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah. So that
they also haven't played a team that's been above them in the standings in 2012, but that's the Scotty hockey stat of the day.
Well, you got to let go of those old superstitions. I mean, it is what it is. Do you think your mindset going into the playoffs is going to affect what's happening on the ice? It doesn't matter what couch you're sitting on, where you're sitting.
Oh, yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
what
it does.
But once I sit down, I do not move.
I just think it's going to be settled on the ice. I think the Rangers are the far superior team. And I think defensively, if they show up, they're going to win. I think the power plays look better. Recently, which we've been saying all year, the power play has to get straightened out for the playoffs in order to for them to be a serious contender. So hopefully that's heading in the right direction.
Hopefully they don't play the backup goalie because, as we all know, the Rangers can't score against backup goalies.
That's true.
Yeah. That is
absolutely true. All right, Eric, well, thank you for calling in, and we're going to get Justin on the line here and then play the Chris Kreider interview.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon. Great. Eric Reutemann from Five Hole Blog, although I don't think he writes it anymore. I think he got sick of writing, and quite frankly, I can't blame him. Justin, what's going on?
What's up? I'm glad I could join Ottawa Senators Radio.
Oh! Well, listen, you know, you gotta get, you know, we won't have him on again.
I'm just talking with you guys. The whole thing about Kreider, if I remember correctly, I was on the show the other night on the phone, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned something about Kreider getting signed and coming up and playing and pretty ripped in the chat room, if I remember correctly for it. Well, I just got to say, look who's right now.
If you're expecting a mea culpa from a certain chatter, ain't going to happen.
I don't give a fuck what he thinks, to be perfectly honest. Jeff. Anyway. But, anyways, how are you, how you guys feeling about tomorrow?
I am nervous, but I am confident. I have the opening. I got the opening. I got the playoff jitters, but I think we're going to take it. I don't know. You know, Ottawa's just got too much hold defensively, and I don't put too much credence into the regular season. I think they were kind of an after. They were kind of an afterthought by the Rangers and. And if Lundqvist is back and ready to play, it's all good. It's all good. I just want to get the damn thing underway. I want to get a feel for the series. I want to get a feel for their team. So that's how I'm approaching it. Jim? Jim?
Jim? Same way. A little nervous, not too nervous. They'll be fine.
DaVinci's going to get the hat trick.
No,
DaVinci, yeah.
Or else he should be traded.
I'm telling you, DaVinci, he's gonna come up big. And, you know, Fedotenko, he's a proven playoff player. But, oh, I cannot wait to see Kreider. I cannot wait.
They're killing Mandar. I love it.
I'm just saying, you know, this isn't
DaVinci.
Your...
DaVinci.
This isn't your grandpa's Rangers anymore. You know, this is
Jim.
this is your current Rangers. Rangers who
DaVinci.
You know who don't
DaVinci.
DaVinci. Is he playing the song in the background?
DaVinci.
Yeah, he's playing the not the song, but just the DaVinci thing.
No, but, you know what? I'm glad that they called. I'm glad that they called him up. You know, nothing. Here we go.
DaVinci. All right, go ahead.
I'm so happy. I mean, I just think, you know, things are, you know, this is really like a turning point in the history of our franchise. You know, this is, if we can really pull this off, this is going to be, besides 94, one of the greatest years that we've ever had. And I just think it can be amazing, you know?
All right. Have you consumed any adult beverages today?
Me?
Yeah.
No, actually, no. I just got off work a little while ago, so I haven't had time to really do that. But, no, I'm just really amped up. I'm really excited. And it's going to be a fun time. It really is. And I'm really excited. I'm really proud of this team for everything they've done this year. I'm not concerned with Philly. I'm not concerned with Pittsburgh. I'm not concerned with anybody else. I'm concerned about one thing, and that is the New York Rangers and how they play and them advancing and going on. That's all I care about.
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother Justin. Yes. The New York Rangers.
Yes, that's all that matters. And that's what we're all here for, right?
The crowd's going to be buzzing tomorrow, and it's going to be freaking crazy. It's going to be nuts, and we're going to score some goals and get on them early, and it's going to be a romp from there on. I think Rangers in five. That's what I got.
You're damn right. And you know what? All of us here, we're all rooting for the same thing. You know, we're all pulling for the Rangers, regardless of what we, regardless of our opinions on players, thoughts, ages, race, it doesn't matter. We're all pulling for the Rangers, and fucking let's go Rangers.
All right. I like that. Good night, everybody. No. All right, Justin, thanks for calling. We got Chris Kreider on hold from 3 years ago, so we got to get to him.
Yeah, you've been making him wait a little too long.
Yes. We're going to rev up the time machine. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Yep, and I look forward to celebrating with all you guys in a couple weeks, hopefully.
Okay. Take care, my friend.
See you guys later.
As we play the DaVinci theme song, I heard Nicki Minaj is going to be doing a remake of that. So, Jimmy, how are you tonight?
Can you put this on like a 90-minute loop and we just play it through the whole show just like this?
Well, I don't know. lose half our audience, I think. All right, so let me preface this next interview by saying, again, it was one of our first forays into the interviewing process, me and Jim as a tag team, a heterosexual tag team, may I say, an on-air tag team. And I think you will enjoy it. I don't have it queued up. Let me see. Where are we? It's under the B's.
Of course, people do go both ways.
Oh, let me shine here. Okay. I don't know where this is now. Oh, here it is. So, now I do, again, I cringe when I call him Creeder at the end. But I think you'll like this. I think you enjoy it. Here is the interview with the number 20 for your New York Rangers in your program, Chris Kreider. This is right before they won the World Juniors and beat Team Canada. Here it is, Chris Kreider, for your audio oral pleasure.
It's on the line. Just bear with me a second. Here we go. Let's see. Bring him on here. Chris, is this you?
Yeah, this is him.
Hi, Chris. Jim and Eddie, welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We apologize for the technical difficulties. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well, except for the little glitches here, but I think we're good to go. We just want to give you a little background. You and I met at the draft after the Rangers picked you, and we are part of BlueShirtBanner.com. It's the SB Nation community for the Rangers, and also twice a week we do a radio show on the internet, hopefully, and it's devoted to the Rangers, and we want to welcome you to the broadcast, and we picked a good day to have you. Congratulations on the hat trick yesterday. Nice job.
Thank you very much.
So, how are the juniors going? How are you? How's the experience for you?
It's fun. It's a lot different than anything I've experienced, but you know, so far so good.
Cool. Let me backtrack a little bit as we get started here. Talk about what the adjustment has been like for you to college hockey.
Yeah, definitely. College certainly been a step up. A lot of bigger, older, more skilled, more educated players. It's certainly been an adjustment. The coaching staff at BC has made it a lot easier for me. They're really fantastic. But I think that I'm improving every game. So hopefully soon it'll just click at some point in the second half of the season, and I'll start feeling real comfortable.
Is the college game, is it starting to slow down around you a little bit as you play more every day?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It really does change almost every game as I get a little more comfortable and I figure out where I need to be, and I just kind of get my timing down. And
now, let me backtrack to the draft a little bit. What went through your mind when the Rangers picked you? What were you thinking? Did you know the Rangers were very interested in you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. At the time, I didn't think the Rangers were going to pick me, to be honest. I saw that a couple of really good Americans and John Moore and Jordan Schrader were still on the board, and I really didn't see myself going before either of them. So I was just, sitting in my seat all comfortable, and I heard my name called, and my legs just kind of went numb, and I was trying to concentrate on not tripping down the stairs.
Now I remember when Ryan Bourque was drafted by the Rangers as well, you two down in the tunnel, you guys kind of embraced and had a big hug. You guys have a little history together before coming to the Rangers, right?
Yeah. We're from the same town. He probably lives about 2 minutes away from me, tops. And I wouldn't say that I grew up with him, but I went to this same middle school with him once he moved to Boxford. I played with him for a while before he moved away, and he's a great kid. And comes from a great family, so I was just really happy for him.
That's great. And now, do you guys are playing together for Team USA. Do you guys ever sit and talk about maybe what it'd be like someday to play together on Broadway?
That never has really come up, to be honest. That maybe it's taboo or something. We don't want to jinx ourselves, but we talk more about some hometown stuff, about junior hockey, about college hockey, about people that we know. But, you know, hopefully at some point in the future we can, you know, wear the same jersey again.
Yeah. And with you guys, do you have any contact with the Rangers now? Do they keep in contact with you? Do you hear from them? Do they have somebody that comes and watches you play? How does that work?
Yeah, I've talked with Gordy Clark a few times. I know that he's been at a bunch of games this season. I actually got to meet Mark Messier, too. He came in and talked to our team and then stayed for the Vermont game later on that day. But I've been able to get some feedback from them, especially from Mr. Clark, and it's really been extremely helpful. Because as I'm trying to grow and develop my game, getting as many opinions as possible from, you know, people who really know the game, like Gordy Clark and all the BC coaches, it certainly helps.
In fairness, this was before.
And are you keeping up with the Rangers? I remember you said at the draft that you grew up a Bruins fan.
Are you kidding me? Parents keep watching the Bruins every night, hoping that Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask stop everything. Are you kidding me?
I know you said your family was going to have to make an adjustment because they're all Bruins fans. Are they starting to embrace the Rangers yet?
Yeah, I certainly think they are. I don't think it was a very hard transition for them. You know, they know when they have to kind of switch their alliance. But I'd say we've been following the Rangers a whole lot closer than we had been initially.
they can use your goal scoring right about now.
Really, we could use you right now. I just want to talk about that hat trick. You must have been excited. I mean, you get that hat trick against Latvia, and you know everybody's talking about Team USA out here, and all the Ranger fans following you so closely, Chris. Let me ask you, how pumped is this team for up against Canada? You guys got to beat these guys. They
think they're a little bit. They think they're what you call it doesn't stink. When we need United States to beat Canada, enough of it. I think there's definitely a whole lot of energy in the air. You could feel it immediately after the Latvia game was over. I think everyone expected us to win our first three because we knew Canada was going to. So we knew if we were going to challenge to go, going to the medal round and possibly get a bye by beating Canada, or even really just having a pretty competitive game against them, we'd have to win our first three. So I guess you could say that the tournament really starts now for us. And everything else was just kind of getting the job done and doing what we were supposed to do and doing what was expected of us. And now we have to try to surprise people and do what's not expected of us, as Canada's obviously heavily favored.
Yeah, they're heavily favored, but listen, we've got the likes of Ryan Bourque, we've got you, we've got the USA all the way. I love Canada, I love hockey, but listen, it's time to take those Canadians down a peg, and I think we're going to do it, and I hope we are.
And don't forget Derek Stepan on that team, he's the captain.
Derek, the captain. Can you tell us a little bit about Derek and Ryan and what do they bring to the table? I mean, we know Derek is a fantastic player, and so is Ryan. I mean, but can you give us maybe tell us a little bit of insight on what Derek is all about primarily and Ryan?
Yeah, definitely. Derek, like you said, he's a fantastic player. I think he's leading our team in points right now. I'm not quite sure. But he's so mature for his age. He's really, a great team guy, a great locker room guy, and the guys really look up to him, really respect him. He's just a really, really great guy. He definitely deserves to wear the C. Like I said, he does garner everyone's respect and attention. And he always seems to be in the right place at the right time, making the right play. He's just so sound. He's just a really good hockey player. He's everywhere. He's got great composure. He's got great poise. He's just a terrific hockey player. And then Ryan Bourque, he brings so much energy. He really fills any role the coaches want him to. He's a first line guy for us most of the time, playing with Schrader and Palmieri, and just he's got a ton of skill. But then at the same time, he can hop on the penalty kill and run around, and he brings 110% effort every shift. He's probably one of the hardest working guys on the ice, and he's really everywhere. He's a pest. He's wreaking havoc, and he tries harder than almost anyone I've ever seen.
Wow, that's great. That's great to hear. I mean, we know, but to hear it from you, that's fantastic. I tell you, I've been telling people, Rangers' future looks great. You got some. The Rangers have a lot of great prospects, and starting with yourself and Stefan and Bourque. It's gonna be a great time for the Rangers down the line. Now I want to get back to how geared up are you against Canada? Are you guys ready to take these guys on and? And what has the coach done to maybe get you prepared mentally for the game? Or is that something that takes care of itself?
Yeah, I think that's something that definitely takes care of itself. I mean, our coach doesn't have to say much to get us up for this game. We know this is the biggest game of the tournament, really. Everyone watched the game the last year on New Year's Eve, where U.S. played Canada, and some of our players even participated in it, so they know what it's going to be about. I wouldn't say we looked past any of the games that we played against the Swiss or Latvia or Czech, because they were all very respectable, very strong opponents. But we all, had in the back of our mind that this was going to be the big game and this was really going to decide our tournament.
Jim, you want to...
We have a chat room that goes on while everybody's listening to the show, and we have a question from the chat room. One of our regular listeners wants to know what the adjustment was like from college to playing for Team USA.
Yeah, it's a different style of play, I think, and especially since everyone's coming from different teams and from different systems, there's not as much of a system, I guess, with Team USA. I mean, we certainly have, a system set up, but it's not as locked in because, you don't have as much time to really go over the X's and O's. But, I mean, we're all hockey players, and we all know, what to do when we're told to do it. So there's been some individual work done and some emphasis on certain points of our systems with Team USA, but the style of play in college and this style of play, it's a lot different. So it's a whole different game.
Let me see if we have any other questions from the chat room before we get to a couple other things here. I'm just trying to look here. Nope. Okay. Eddie, do you have anything else for Chris?
Oh, yeah, sure. I got plenty of stuff.
Okay.
Now, I was reading, I do crack research, I spend hours on this show. As a matter of fact, I woke up about 12 o'clock this afternoon, but I want to ask you, now you took some classes in Russian, and is this true? Are you really into Russian, or was that something you said, like, in the little profile there, like in some of the adult magazines they have, Denise likes, badminton. Do you really like Russian? Is that something you've gotten to learn?
Yeah, that's something I really enjoy. I really enjoy languages. I took 2 years of it in high school. And unfortunately, the next level of Russian isn't offered at a time where I can take it at Boston College because we have practice, but I'm trying to work something out where I can somehow continue taking it because I do really enjoy it.
And that's something that would come in handy, later on in your career. You know, especially with the Russian guys come over and they're a little bit timid and they're looking for, you know, friendship, and you knowing the language would really help with line mates too. I mean, you know, I think that's a great thing. How did you get into that? How did you discover that the Russian, because that sounds like a very complicated language, I mean, to learn.
At the school that I went to, it was one of the languages offered. They offered a lot of different language courses, but the teacher was a pretty famous, well-known guy at the school and just in the area, and he was a terrific teacher. So I thought I'd, you know, take advantage of the opportunity. Not really thinking, you know, I'd put it to any use. I'd taken Spanish for so long, kind of was sick of Spanish, so I just really wanted to try something new, I guess.
Yeah, I took Spanish in school. I went back to school, and like, I'm a little bit older, you know, 20 years older. And it seems that all the
20?
Kids know Spanish. Well, about 20 or so, maybe more. Let's keep it under wraps. But, it seems a lot of the kids today know Spanish already. Like, I went into the class, I didn't know a lick of Spanish, and everybody there is pretty much knows Spanish. So I think Russian's a good way to go. That's very interesting. I think it's interesting, at least. And I know my story wasn't very interesting, but still, you know, it's radio. This is what we got to do. Now, I want to ask you about you. Has Gordy Clark talked to you at all about maybe the style of play that he wants you to develop, or something he wants you to work on for the future, or is he just, you know, just there to observe and just make sure everything's going okay?
I mean, a little bit of both. He doesn't want to say anything to contradict the BC coaches, but he'll add little things here and there, things that he sees, kind of the details, whether it be, you know, something that he saw in the offensive zone or my defensive zone play, or just, you know, positioning or something I need to work on. He especially has emphasized working on developing a slap shot that I can, you know, use when I'm coming down on a one-on-one, whether it be, you know, from kind of the perimeter or somewhere out near the blue line, just because if you can only beat a guy with speed, or, you know, try to go by him to try to generate a snapshot on a one-on-one, they're just going to sit back on you. Especially if they know that you can't let loose a slap shot. So it's just little things like that, little details that'll hopefully help to define my game down the line.
And how about it as far as now you're playing Canada tomorrow, a big game. We've already discussed this. Who are the sickest players on Canada? The guys you absolutely got to shut down in order to make it an easier time tomorrow?
Jeez. There's probably, there's every one of those players is of that caliber. We really need to shut down all of them. I mean, we need to play a perfect game in the D zone, I think. But, you know, there's some players who are just, I mean, sportscasters have used the word prodigy with Taylor Hall, and he's scored some unbelievable goals, and he had a great game yesterday from what I saw. And I mean, we're going to certainly have to try to figure out a way to shut him down. We're going to have to be able to shut Nazem Kadridan, Kozin, Bork, Delarue. There's so many names, and everyone on that team's capable of scoring and capable of taking advantage of their opportunities. So we got to play a flawless game.
Yeah. Well, you know, it can happen. And let's say you guys are going to give it your all. You're all psyched up. And, you know, once the puck drops, you never know what happens. You know that. I mean, sometimes it doesn't look so good, but you got to play the game. That's why they play the games. And, you know, I got to say, Chris, you sound like you're an intelligent young man. I like that. And I got to tell you, I was at the draft. I wasn't at the actual draft. I was actually at a draft party on Long Island. And when you were selected, everybody was like, who? I mean, because you came out of left field. I mean, it surprised you. It surprised us. And especially a guy who wasn't in college at the time. We're like, the Rangers are really rolling the dice here. and you paid off dividends. I'm telling you, the fans here are excited, and I've never seen it. You know, I've been following this team since 1975, and people are excited about the young guys, and you're one of those guys. And a credit to Gordy Clark. He did a fantastic job with the draft this year, starting with himself, and it's so great because, I mean, it did take us all from surprise. And I was at the Islander draft party where Tavares was taken. I was undercover there doing some, you know, I was in the enemy's territory, let's put it that way. And there were a few Ranger fans, and we were like, Chris, who is this guy? And then we did some more research. We looked into him, and Gordy said that he was looking for the best player available. He thought the best player any at any level. That's who he drafted. And when you got that hat trick last night, you made the Ranger fans so proud. We're proud of you already, and we're ready for you to join the family. And I know you guys aren't talking about it, and you know you're concentrated on the games at hand and developing your skills. But we hope it all works out because it's starting off so great. And we want Team USA to beat those Canadians, to beat those our friends from up north, our friends to the north. And hopefully we.
Well, I could tell you that when I, like I said, I was at the draft, and the word, the buzz when the Rangers selected Chris was that if Chris immediately went to the NHL, he'd be one of the fastest skaters in the league. That was all everybody was talking about with you, Chris, was your speed.
Yeah, they said he would be if he played in the NHL on the Rangers today, he'd be one of the fastest guys in the NHL. And how do you develop speed? Is that something you develop, or is it just natural?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's definitely something that I've worked on, and something that I've spent a lot of time trying to do in the weight room and on the ice. I don't know. it's just, you know, something that I've always focused on. What's that?
Yeah. Chris, did you do any power skating or speed skating as you were growing up that helped you develop that speed that you have?
I did a lot of power skating, a lot of edge work and such. When I was learning to skate, I was always taught to try to get the longest or try to get the longest stride possible, to get the most out of each stride. I had some hamstring problems when I was going through my growth spurt, so I had to acknowledge that I needed to get more flexible if I wanted to keep playing. So flexibility became a big part of that. And then, you know, as I became more flexible and I started concentrating more on foot speed and lifting and getting stronger in the weight room. And I did a lot on slide boards and a lot of cleans and just a lot of stuff with weights. I think that certainly helped a lot of the off ice stuff.
Okay. Okay, what we have two questions coming in from the chat room, Chris, for you. And then the first one, let me see here. The first one is, in your opinion, what's the number one thing you need to work on to succeed in the NHL?
Ooh, that's a tough question. There's so much.
You just got to get older. I
think... hockey smarts and just along that line, knowing where to be, positioning, and just kind of knowing where to go or when to go rather, and when not to go, when to turn it on, when to turn it off, just where to be to support my teammates. But I mean, apart from that, there's so much that really needs to get better. I mean, my hands certainly need to get better. That's something I'm working at. You know, everything can get better and everything needs to get better. But I'd say positioning is probably one of the biggest things. My shot needs to get better. I think my speed needs to get better personally. My strength, definitely. I think I need to fill out more. I think really everything.
Okay, now let me ask you, you say your hands need to get better. How do you work on something like that? How do you improve in that area? What are some of the techniques you do to improve that?
It's just extra time after practice, or even when there's extra ice, you know, dribbling a puck around. What I like to do is empty a bucket of pucks and try to maneuver my way around it. It's just, you know, some of the more simple stuff that you would do growing up. You know, a lot of the Canadian kids, I mean, especially the kids that will play, you know, they're constantly playing shinny. They've got outdoor rinks growing up. They put in so many hours. And so I'm trying to, you know, kind of put in that same amount of time. And I think it takes time and just effort to get your hands better.
Okay. And then the other question we had from the chat room is, how are the fans treating you up in Saskatoon? Apparently that's a rough bunch up there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that they dislike the American team, but you know, we certainly get more boos than cheers. I got some serious boos when I was going in on my penalty shot and when I was going up for the Player of the Game award against Switzerland.
Well, that'll just get you ready to play in Philadelphia someday.
Exactly.
So, and he's very diplomatic. I like that too.
Well, he's still there. If we interviewed him in 2 weeks after he's gone, he might have something different to say.
Yeah, maybe say something to Saskatoon about the Saskatoon people up there. But listen, they're brutal. They're into their hockey. They want their Canadian team to win. But I'm predicting upset tomorrow. I have to. I'm a Chris Kreider fan. I'm a Ranger fan. I mean, I'm a fan of the USA, ladies and gentlemen. Can you blame me? Gordon Fred. I gotta say, it really was great for you to spend some time with us today, Chris, and the Ranger fans are appreciative of it, and I am, and Jim is, and, you know, thank you for joining us. It's been so great to have you on, and we hope that you go all the way and continue your fantastic journey to the NHL.
Thank you very much. It was really, really no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Chris, it was our pleasure. We wish you all the best, and we hope to see you in Ranger Blue soon. So good luck to you. Good luck to you guys tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon. And
all right,
please thank
again.
And please thank Alex for me for helping us set this all up.
I will. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, Chris.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah. When I said, hopefully we'll talk to you soon, yeah, we'll never talk to him again. Maybe after he retires.
Yeah.
We're in our 60s.
So what did you think about that little retrospective? It's weird hearing yourself. It was weird for me.
Oh,
you seem to be a little hard on yourself.
A shit circus. My God, I was having... I remember that day, and, you know, we had just moved to... I think I was telling you this last week. We had just moved to Arizona. We were staying someplace temporarily, and this interview all came up very short notice. So we had to throw things together at the last minute, and then I got everything set up, and the internet wasn't working where we were staying, and I couldn't get it to work, and I had to call in on the phone, and it was just a nightmare. And then we couldn't. I know there was some other. Maybe we had trouble getting him on the phone in the beginning. Oh.
Think he came off. A lot of people said he was boring. I don't think he came off as boring. I thought he was pretty affable, and he kind of warmed up to the whole thing as the thing went on. When he knew it was just going to be the typical questions, you know. And I really thought you asked him a good question about how do you work on, like, you know, the hand, so to speak, and he seems like a very like. Together kid, and you know, in all intended purposes, has got his head screwed on straight, and he's a terrific talent, you know. So I hope he does well, and I want to take some credit for predicting that the Rangers would be a force. As I did say, in a couple of years, a lot of Ranger fans don't know this, but you got your Derek Stepan, your Chris Kreiders. You have to remember, at that time, nobody was even saying these names. You saw them in print or on the internet, so we didn't know how they were pronounced. So,
right.
You know,
nobody was talking about these guys.
Right. You know, and so certainly you got to give us a pass on that one.
I mean, really, you know, when Blue Shirt Banner first got going, you know, and we were, I mean, you know, we were desperate for, you know, people to come look at the website. So, you know, if anything related to the Rangers, you know, if somebody took a dump, we were posting it on the site just to draw people in. So, and, you know, the NHL offered SB Nation the opportunity to go cover that 2009 draft. You know, they said that they would credential a few writers, and I immediately, you know, volunteered, even though, I mean, Blue Shirt Banner was only up and running 2 months, and you know, here I am and walking around Montreal covering the draft. I mean, you got to be kidding me. But nobody, I mean, other than Jess Rubenstein at the Prospect Park, and I guess hockey's future, nobody was talking about these guys. I mean, how many articles you ever read in the Daily News or the Record, or, you know, and that's not to disparage those guys. They're busy enough with the Rangers. But you don't see prospect profiles or anything like that. And we, you know, we did all that stuff. So, you know, I like to think that, you know, at least with Blue Shirt Banner, we had a big part in promoting the draft and these prospects, and, you know, and all it did was,
you're lucky the Rangers
was get us thrown out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're lucky the Rangers even make the papers with the team they have. They won the division. No, let's get something about a young guy that's coming up.
Right.
So
right.
The internet on that point has been a great source of information, and we've been part of that, I think. I mean, we've certainly had the Leslie Treffs, the Jess Rubensteins. These people have been into this way before we even knew about it.
Right.
You know, and they know their stuff, and we were able to circumvent.
I mean, let's be honest, guys, you know, guys in our generation, you and me and Mandar and some of the other, you know, guys around our age, our generation, what was your extent of Ranger draft coverage? Oh, the Rangers drafted this guy, Stephen Rice, in the first round yesterday. Says he's okay. All right, we'll see him in 3-4 years. And that was it. You know, I mean, that was the extent of what you knew about the draft, it wasn't on TV. There was no NHL Network. There was no Versus.
Oh.
They didn't put it on MSG or anything like that. You read a paragraph in the paper the next day.
You got his size. That's all that mattered. If he was six foot or over, wow, he's a tough guy.
Right.
He's short. He's offensive.
Yeah, and then you might read something a couple of months later about some guy they drafted, from Russia or something that nobody ever heard of, and you know they pulled him out of Siberia from the Russian front, you know, whatever. But there was no coverage like that, and, you know. And then the internet came along, and you had people like we said, like Leslie and Jess Rubenstein, and then the Banner kind of picked up the torch, kind of accidentally, really, when we stumbled into the draft. It just started to become something we focused on, and you know, I got an email one day from the guy who was doing the PR for the USA, the World Juniors, and do we want to interview Chris Kreider? And I said, well, hell yeah, we want to interview Chris Kreider. So we jumped on it.
And now look at it. He's going to possibly be playing in the playoffs. It's fantastic how it all... And I kind of said in that interview that he's just got to get older. That's really what we were waiting for, is because, you know,
right.
He has to fill in. And from what I'm hearing, and that he has filled out. I saw him 2 years ago. Again, I said he was real lanky. But he's put on some weight. He's matured. And, you know, it's another big step going from the college game to the NHL game. But they've been hot on Glenn. He's been a favorite of Glenn Sather's the first time they took him into camp. I remember Brad Richards at the beginning of this season saying, this kid's on our team, and this kid should be playing. So I'm going to check out the interview that Emily Lauren posted in the thing about with Chris Kreider. I want to check, see how the man has progressed. Well, Jim, we got 10 minutes to go. We've got... We're heading into the last 10 minutes before Ranger playoff hockey starts. I'm brimming with confidence. I feel kind of awkward like that, but I am also embracing it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how they come out tomorrow night. I really am. They've had 4 days off. They should have, you know, fresh legs, fresh minds. You know, and that's why I don't think you can discount these 4 days they've had off, unless they, you know, come out and shit the bed tomorrow night, and then I'll blame it all on the 4 days layoff, and they went rusty, and then I'll complain about it on Friday. But no, I don't think you could. I think it's good for them to get these days off and clear your head. You know, I mean, yeah, it's hockey, and you know, we always joke around that we do it for free, but well, maybe you would, but today it's still, you know, it's a job to them, and it's a tough job, and you know, if you work a job and you know that, you know, you go a long stretch of time where you don't get any time off, and it wears on you, and you know, wears on your mind, and their job wears on their mind and their body. So it's just, I think it's a real good thing for them to get this these 4 days off, and I expect to see a good energy tomorrow night. I know you love that
team. I want to see a refocused team back to where we were, you know, around game 25, 30. Where it's just defense first. And, you know, they got some guys who have been very good in the playoffs. And Brad Richards is making his return to the playoffs after 3 years. I think he's going to be jacked up for it. We got Fedotenko, who's got some playoff experience and played well in the playoffs. Gary, I think the Rangers are just coming into this playoffs with more offense than they've had in a long time. Since the Yager year. So,
You're right.
I mean, I really think that this is their year to get to. And it's very important for the Rangers' progression. I mean, I know the expectations are high because they finished so well and they had a great season. The season went real quick. I guess the wins were just like, I was getting addicted to the wins, so it went real fast. But it's also critical to the development of the younger players to experience the playoffs for at least two rounds, I think. They need to win two rounds, get that under their belt. If they don't win the Cup this year, yeah, I want to see this team good forever. This is not one of those one-shot deals like we're always thinking. The Rangers will get better. They'll be funneling some of the older players out. Some of the more, as the talent comes in, they still have room to make upgrades in the off season. They've got, you know, I still think the pipeline is pretty good with players, with the prospects. So I think the Rangers are going to be good for a while, especially with this defensive core. It's young, and for whatever Tortorella. And I hate to say it, Mike Sullivan, because as much as he's a detriment for the power play, he's able to get these defensemen to play. And I don't know if it's Tortorella or Sullivan. I don't know who it is. But they certainly maximize the effort. Because we've seen guys that have been cast off from other teams who have been forgotten about, whether it be Steve Eminger, whether it be Anton Stroman, guys who have come in and learn to play defense the right way. And with the best goaltender in the world, I got to like our chances.
I think obviously, you know, winning this first series is going to go a long way for them, because they got to get that monkey off their back. At least as far as I'm concerned, they do.
Right.
You know, it's just,
I agree.
I think that's the part of me that's, and I know it's, you know, different situation than we've had in the last couple of years that they made the playoffs, but you know, it seems like it's been forever since we were able to say, all right, now we're in the second round of playoffs, you know? And, you know, and the last time they were in the second round was fuck you, Chris Drury. And,
That's something I wanted to bring up to you. You know, the captain means so much to a team. I mean, it really is the identity of a team. And when you had such a shitty captain, and, you know, I don't care what the Ranger KGB or whatever the Pravda or whatever those things was spinning that he was a good captain. He wasn't. He wasn't good in the room. Don't give me it. I think not just the on-ice leadership, but when you're a captain, when you're another player, you don't want to disappoint your captain. You
right.
want to win for your captain. You want to win for your coach. You want to win for your fans. And I think Ryan Callahan is so superb and so he's just so prototypical of the Rangers' style. And I think the Rangers would want to win for him. They want to win for the Oilers. They have a lot of things to win for. Whereas before, it's like, oh, you know, we don't want to disappoint Chris Drury. Meanwhile, the guy's a disappointment himself.
Right.
I think that plays into it. I think that plays into it somewhere. It's an intangible. I think it's an important intangible. And I think he's the type of guy who can go in and motivate them if they're not playing the right way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely think that. Did I lose you?
No.
There you are. There you are. You went silent there for a minute. Like,
no, well,
like,
I saw Mary
like
said, don't agree with you, Ed. Callie is always saying, what a great influence. He has to say that. What is he going to say? Chris Drury was never – I never saw Chris Drury ever argue a call with a ref.
No, Prosper was always doing it.
Yeah. And Callahan, who was not very chirpy with the referees and the officiating when he wasn't captain, has been very vocal this year when he has seen an injustice done in his eyes on the ice. And he has gotten more dirtier, and I mean not a dirtier by, you know, cheap, in front of the net sacrificing himself. He's one of the best guys in the front of the net for the Rangers, Callahan. Now, I know Callahan's always been scrappy, but he had never been doing that before. I think he has just personified everything. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys. You guys watch the games. And I think it's an intangible. When you've got a captain. You saw it in the 94 team where you don't want to disappoint. This is what happens. And I think that is going to be a big thing. Plus, Tortorella, you know, he's in that room. Mike Rupp stated it. That this is the best room he's ever been involved with, as far as the guys. I think they got a tight unit, and I think they're gonna do well.
I hope you're right. I agree. I just the way they played down the stretch concerns me a little bit, but I'm hoping that they just kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, and we'll see the team we saw in December and January tomorrow night. Starting tomorrow.
Let's hope so. Yeah, because they really, you know, it'll be the first period will be a telltale sign of what team we're going to see. And, you know, if they can thwart them early, if they get some quality shots and get some goals, I think the Rangers will be in control. If you can't get psyched up for, 18,000 people going nuts in a playoff game and really having a stellar defense in the best goal. I just can't see it. I can't see it this round. You know, I thought this was my best matchup. I thought for the Rangers, best scenario. So, yeah, I really, Buffalo didn't make it, but I was afraid of Buffalo. I think Florida's going to do better than you guys think they're going to do. But
I think Florida's going to win that series.
Oh, because the way you guys feel, I don't know, I think when we had a guest on that you were kind of joking about Florida. But Florida, I think, will stick with the Devils pretty good.
Yeah, I think they'll give the Devils a good series. And I think they could win. I really do.
Well, that's it.
All right. So, playoffs tomorrow night. We'll see you guys Friday night at 9:00. For the wrap-up.
Let's go, Rangers. I'm psyched. I hope everybody's going to gather around the TV with your favorite beverages, your favorite snacks. Let's go crazy and let's have a good time. And most importantly, win the goddamn game.
And so it begins. We will see you guys Friday night.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.